Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Figure It, the podcast where we look at the facts and statistics on Cyprus and figure out what it all means. My name is Fiona Mullen and I'm the Director of Sapienta Economics. This week I'm talking to Cyprus Seeds, that's Maria Yoriadou and Margarita Kiprianou, Managing Director and Innovation Programme Manager respectively of Cyprus Seeds. We're going to talk about the latest call for applications, which ends on the 31st of October. So if you're in the academic or scientific innovative space, you'll know that Cyprus Seeds can provide you with a small grant, mentorship, hands-on training, networking opportunities, this kind of thing. That's what we'll be talking about today. And I should mention Cyprus Seeds is specifically for teams from universities, research institutions, and centres of excellence in the Republic of Cyprus. One of the reasons I wanted to do this is I've noticed in my professional work looking at the economy that the ICT sector, information communications and telecommunications, has been doing really, really well in the past, especially the past 5 years, but even the past 10 years, and really is, I think, helping us diversify from dependence on maybe less productive things or areas that perhaps didn't give us such a great reputation. So the idea of Cyprus Seeds is empowering research to transform into market-ready innovations. And welcome Maria and Margarita to the program.
Thank you.
So Cyprus Seeds has been going quite some time now. Tell us a bit more about how it started, if you could.
Okay, I will start, Maria. It's an honor to be with you, Fiona, and thank you. Actually, I will take it from where you left it. The reason we have started Cyprus Seeds like 7 years ago is because one Cypriot philanthropist have noticed that we have amazing talent on the ground, especially in academia, but that talent is hiding in the laboratories and not taking that innovative unique research which is happening in the universities and research centers of the island to the market and have innovative solutions to world problems, which is in its turn one way of saving lives, improving the environment, creating employment, and reducing the brain drain maybe in a country like ours, and therefore improving the economy, which is wonderful if we manage that beyond investing in property and other matters that did not make us very proud, as you have mentioned. So that's the beginning of Cyprus Seeds. That was in 2017. The vision was that, and the result of that vision was the design of a program called Cyprus Seeds, which was inspired by a similar program that is being run, operated in Boston by MIT for the last few years. So again, there, a philanthropist, somebody who graduated from MIT and decided to commercialize the innovative research he was doing in the laboratory of MIT and turning it into an innovative product, which he managed to sell and made some money, donated to MIT $20 million, and said to university, I would like you to use this money to support whatever unique research is happening at MIT to take it out into solutions. And similarly, ourselves, George David from the Leventis and David families supported the setting up of this initiative after we designed it, and it's been running for the last 6 years with great success, I must say. We ran three cycles already, and we are in our fourth cycle. And despite the fact that we started 6 years ago and there was nobody else talking about commercializing the research, what I consider first success of this program is the change in the mindset, the academics and researchers who are for the first time talking about wanting to do it and wanting a different path to the academic career.
I have a question there, because I remember a lot of debate about whether or not universities would be allowed under the law to have, let's say, an arm that you could then commercialize. And I'm assuming that, I'm hoping that that actually went through, otherwise your program is working with one hand behind its back. So that's now allowed, is it, under the law? You can have an innovative program.
The law hasn't changed, Fiona. Since we began this effort, there is a legislation in place that actually is a legislation that relates only to the public universities. So basically in the University of Cyprus and the Cyprus University of Technology in Limassol, the BAC, mm-hmm. and the Open University. But basically those two big ones are the ones that go by this legislation, which is allowing the spinning out of startups from universities.
Okay.
But it's got some limitations, of course. This is Cyprus. And therefore, it's not very encouraging. Nevertheless, our customers, Cyprus's customers, are not only the two public universities. Mm-hmm. Luckily, we have good research happening in the centers of excellence in Cyprus. And you know that Cyprus has eight centers.
And the neurology.
We have eight centers of excellence. I just came back from the annual conference on centers of excellence from Europe. And Cyprus has the biggest number of centers of excellence around Europe.
Right.
So in basically every thematic. So Cyprus has these centers of excellence from where good research is coming. And finally, we have some other centers of research, institutes of research, like the Institute of Neurology and Genetics.
Yes. Yeah.
There is also the Cyprus Institute.
Yes.
And then there is a few other private universities who are now more keen to commercialize. So we have these institutions and academia to go after and convince that there is value to commercializing the research.
So why don't you give me, I know you've got them on your website, but a couple of the highlights since you started, some of the things that you have supported.
The highlights, you mean in terms of number of teams, the number of... So in short, the cycles of Cyprus Seeds have a duration of 18 months. During those 18 months, mm-hmm. those that are selected after a very rigorous competitive process, and by the way, we do not choose those two to be participating in each cycle of ours. We send the applications to foreign, internationally based evaluators who have experience in commercializing research. A lot of them are alumni of the MIT, but we have extended our network of evaluators to include others from the UK and other countries. So we make sure that each application is evaluated by a minimum of three evaluators.
Right.
And those for sure have to have knowledge of the area from where we receive applications. They have to have knowledge and experience in commercializing research, and they have to have knowledge of the business.
Right.
So...
And it's only examined, so it's not just a who you know kind of thing, Cyprus.
Never. If you know somebody, she's excluded. So it's always people from abroad who have that knowledge, and we trust them because, and our results evidence that we choose extremely well our evaluators because it's not only the written application on which we base the selection, Fiona. Firstly, we send the applications, and those who rank highly, very highly, are the shortlisted ones who are invited to an interview.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that interview that is more decisive for those to select than the application. I'll tell you why.
Right.
A lot of the Cypriots, because they apply to competitive European programs for funding, they're extremely good in writing applications.
Right.
Extremely.
Right.
But it's not only about writing applications. It's about convincing the evaluators that you have the right team.
A marketable
and
product.
That team is the one to be interviewed. and you have the right synthesis of the team. So in each team, we seek to have a principal investigator who usually is the faculty that has come up with the idea, but there must be a dedicated person in the team, and usually it's the PhD or the postdoc or the key researcher of the principal investigator who would be dedicated to taking it out of the lab.
Right.
And usually that is our champion to be the one to be going with the startup if they decide to commercialize by way of a startup.
Go and setting get up the funding and so on. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So that interview is critical. And therefore, for the interview of those to be shortlisted, we again set up a committee of people who have the experience and the knowledge of the areas, the industries of those to be shortlisted. Okay, so back to your question, what are some of the highlights and the achievements of Cytoseeds? We have run three cycles. During the last 6 years, less than 6 years, we received numerous applications. Every year there were applications. And in every cycle, we supported on average six teams, six scientific teams. In total, we have supported 19 scientific teams.
Right.
From almost all the universities, research centers, and other institutes on the island. We don't need to name them. Take it from the website. We have from almost everybody applications. The areas that were extremely popular in the applications were health.
Yes.
Environment.
Yeah.
And ICT.
Yeah. That's what I was impressed by, actually, because maybe I'm a bit behind the times, but you sort of think of innovation and so on, that it's only technology. But what was impressive is you've got healthcare, you've got agriculture, you know, innovation in agriculture, even defense, cybersecurity, energy, really, really broad range of areas.
We have art.
Art as well. Good.
Art, yes.
Not only techies.
Yeah, yeah. And this call, Margarita will tell you about the fraud code.
Yeah.
We're placing more weight to applications that support green energy and healthier environment and climate
good.
Changes. So because we appreciate the problem and we wish to push the Cypriots to think towards that direction.
Yeah. Thanks, Maria.
Just to conclude on the highlights, Fiona, and then you can go on to the fourth cycle. I believe, given the constraints of our ecosystem and the lack of support in many different ways to commercialize the research, there's a lot of support to research. And there's all this money coming from the Research Innovation Foundation to do more research. We wish to support the commercialization, as I have said. So to have achieved, after 5 years of operation, six of our 19 projects to dare be entrepreneurs and to spin it out of their universities, I think it's a huge achievement.
Right.
Now, you may ask, what about these six? What will they achieve going forward? Well, that's a different story. But as far as we are concerned, Cytoseeds objectives were to make innovative research from the lab attractive enough to take it out and be interesting to a business angel to start the dialogue with.
Yeah.
Our objective, our KPIs are not strictly to form spin-offs. Our KPIs are to change the mindset of the academic, to give them the most important skills that are necessary so that they appreciate what it means to be an entrepreneur, to connect them with the industry so that they go after customers, not only be in the lab, go after customers and get feedback from customers, and to make them attractive, as I mentioned, to possibly some business angels. So the fact that Cyposeeds, in less than 6 years, has spun out six projects and concluded yet one more of its projects from the Institute of Neurology and Genetics by way of a licensing agreement with a big pharma company in the US.
Oh, well, okay.
Which is for me, is a huge, huge achievement for Cyprus, because we had a doctor in the laboratory of the Institute of Neurology and Genetics who came up with a gene therapy that can save lives. He had tested it on small mice when we got him in the program 5 years ago. He was one of our very first projects. 5 years after, of course, he did the program. He was convinced about the value of licensing that amazing, a unique therapy of his to a bigger company, pharma company, as he had no intentions to be an entrepreneur and to become a business person and from a company. So we, our mentors, who are extremely dedicated and are meeting with our teams regularly, again, mentors from the US, experienced people who have done it before, convinced him that the different way about taking it out to the world is to license the technology.
Yeah.
So he got advice how to go about it. He got advice how to conclude with the licensor. He got advice how to negotiate a good deal for the Institute and for Cyprus. And 5 years after Fiona, we asked him, where are you today? He said, as a result of the licensing agreement, that testing in the laboratory of the Institute has progressed to testing it with bigger mice. It worked. Mm-hmm. Then it went on to be tested on monkeys. It worked. And now they are at the stage of getting FDA approval before they do clinical trials. You know what that means for Cyprus?
Big US organization for medical approvals.
Approval before clinical trials. So if we are lucky, in a couple of years or maybe a bit more, because this is scientific innovation for health, if we are lucky, this amazing therapy that originated from a Cypriot doctor whose mindset was changed from Cyprus seeds and his skills that he acquired enabled him to conclude this licensing agreement, we will be talking about a therapy that will save lives in the world. And finally, what else has come to Cyprus from this project? We have been told that the Institute has received to date about 1 million royalty fees from the licensing agreement.
Nice.
They have received about 1 million royalty fees. And not only the doctor, he said, beyond these fees that came to the Institute of Neurology and Genetics, and part of it also went to the department of the doctor to continue the research, the team he had when he was in the program of four has now grown to be 8 people. So we have contributed to creating employment. So I think we should be very proud.
Good.
As Cyprus seeds.
Well done. Okay, now moving to Margarita. So we've got the latest call. Tell us a little bit about that. What are the key requirements and if there's any difference from how you've done it before?
Thank you, Fiona. Okay, the fourth call is now open and the deadline is on the 31st of October.
Mm-hmm.
In this call, only research teams can apply, which are coming from research institutions from the Republic of Cyprus, meaning public or private universities, research institutes and centers of excellence. We need the team to have at least one principal investigator and one researcher who will have the role of champion. As Maria said before, in the case that the preferential path to commercialization is spin-off, we would like the champion to join the company. Also, as you can see, we are technology agnostic or industry agnostic. We receive applications from every field as long as there is research behind. And
like with a lot of these EU funding, do they have to cooperate with other international institutions or
no.
Can it just be within their own institution or?
No, it's not like that. It's very indifferent. It's just the team. If they want to collaborate, they can do so, but it's not a requirement. And most of the times, our side proceeds runs complementary to other research projects of the EU. For example, an academic team, they have funding from EU to develop their research and their technology. And they are using side proceeds to develop the innovation. So they're complementary. Right.
Yeah.
Also, there are a few requirements. Each time we would like our team to be in contact with their technology transfer office and submit their invention disclosure form before applying to us. And we will give priority to teams that they have already applied to the Central Technology Transfer Office of Research and Innovation Foundation.
Is that something?
To receive their services.
So that's something in Cyprus, right?
Yes.
That kind of something to prove that they are the first to do this and not copying someone else. Is it a kind of...
Yes, exactly. Yeah. They will receive the services to do the IP research, the market research. And we are a small island. We want to use all the resources is here. So we are complementary to other initiatives. And also, we would like for the teams to send us the IP and spin-off policy of their research institution. That's it. What we evaluate, it's very important to us to have the proper project team that with the right attitude. We need the project to have market potential and scientific merit. Of course, we evaluate the commercialization strategy, although this strategy will change a lot. We know, especially at
the
beginning,
mentoring,
the research teams, they are not aware of of what commercialization is. And of course, the economic and environmental and social impact. Mm-hmm. What I would like to stress is that the teams, they enter the program, they think that is another research project, right. But then they realize it's something different.
Right.
And it is something different. In the application that someone needs to fill in, doesn't take long to be done as the other projects. And it focuses on innovation.
Right.
And it's like doing a business plan. And
And
many of the researchers, they told us that at first they go for the money, for the grant. But at the end, what is more viable to them when they understand what is it about? It's about the mentoring we provide them from international mentors who have been researchers and then moved to the startup world. Our networking, which is fantastic, and the training.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Great. Good. This is a trilingual podcast station. I know, obviously, these are institutions in the Republic of Cyprus, so there's no confidence building measure for doing a cooperation across the divide, but I'm sure if there are Turkish Cypriots within Cyprus institutions, then they're eligible, right? So,
yes.
Any other comments before we close?
I just wanted to say a very big thank you, Fiona, to the donors of Cyprus Seeds, because without them, we wouldn't exist and we wouldn't be able to continue. So, definitely beyond the Leventis family, we have been supported right from the beginning from the Greeks and the Cypriots of the diaspora. This initiative in New York called the Hellenic Initiative, whose members are very entrepreneurially successful Cypriots and Greeks in the US, have been there with us supporting from the very first year because they believed in our vision and mission. Finally, we have convinced the government in Cyprus that we're doing something very worthy and complementary to their efforts of taking Cyprus to the next level. So the government has been supporting the Ministry of Innovation, Deputy Ministry of Innovation, has been supporting from year one with funding. And we have attracted also corporate individual donors from Cyprus and abroad. Some of our founding and big donors who support diligently for the last 5 years are Eurobank, EY, now PwC is joining a couple of corporations abroad, Mohari Foundation based in Spain, who identified Cyprus Seeds as the initiative that has value and impact and decided to donate for 3 years as a minimum. So individual Cypriots living abroad are contributing to our success, and we would like to thank them very, very much.
Good. Okay, good. On that note, I think we'll wrap up. If the sound quality is not what you're used to, it's because I have got a bad back, so I'm doing this on inferior equipment from my bed. But finish off. Figure It is brought to you by Island Talks. It's the only trilingual podcast station of Cyprus. If you want to pay for the overheads, they don't go to me. They go to the website, subscriptions and so on. Go to islandtalks.fm and select support us. Margarita and Maria, thank you very much. That was really interesting, and good luck with continuing.
Thank you, Fiona. Thank you very much.
The first trilingual podcast station of Cyprus, Island Talks. Open, diverse, free.